Well, everyone, I think we're glad to be back after race week. We've obviously got a lot to talk about, but kind of not a lot to talk about at the same time, if you know what I'm talking about. The race was kind of dull, but I feel like there is a lot to talk about regarding Formula One, maybe not so much specifically the race. So stick around, because there is going to be some big debates going on throughout this episode. While you're here, if you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. It really does mean a lot to us, especially the comments. I like the comments. They're my favourite.
Yeah.
You know, subscribe if you like if you want, but comment. That's not optional. If you're listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or some other platform for whatever reason, please make sure you give us 5 stars. That also does actually really help us out. It means a lot to us, but it's massively beneficial to the podcast. So please do get involved. You can also follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. Just search Racecast. And if you're smart enough, you'll find us. We're going to crack on now.
All right, guys, welcome along to a brand new episode. So, like you alluded to there, we're happy to be back for another episode post-race. I'll be honest, I'm disappointed.
I know what a lot of you are going to be thinking as well. If you have been with us for a while, you'll know two Merc fans. You're gonna be saying, this stinks of irony. For 7 years, you know, because in year eight, Max was there. 7 years, Mercedes dominated. And granted, it was worse at the beginning. There was, you know, when, especially when like Rosberg was in the team as well, it was chaos from 2014. Yeah. For any other team, any other supporter of any other driver, it wasn't worth watching. And now, we're one of those in this position. But I think the issue is that in 2020, we went through this huge overhaul in the regulations, which was supposed to provide closer racing.
Yep.
After we had just had one of the closest title battles, arguably the closest title battle we've ever seen.
Do you mean 21?
21, yeah, of course. Well, what else would I be talking about?
Well, you said 2020.
In 2020, we had the new regulations.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm with it now, yeah.
He's a bit slow today.
I am a bit slow, yeah.
So we then move into 2020 after this promise of closer racing. It's going to be more fair. There's a cost cap. All great things. We're all behind it. Even as Mercedes fans, you know, we're like, yeah, it'd be great to see more people up there in the mixer.
Can we just like touch on it? I never liked the whole dominance of one team. It wasn't something, don't get me wrong, I'm a Hamilton fan, Mercedes fan, and you're kind of like, oh, it's great seeing your driver win.
It's fine when you are the dominating team. It doesn't mean like you're sitting there thinking this is amazing for the sport, no. But you're thinking like, well, if it's going to be any team that's dominating, at least it's ours.
I would have rather, you know, I suppose when you had that, you know, Rosberg, Hamilton era, where that battle, that was like exciting.
So, and here is a point that I will touch on in a bit. The dominating team can be exciting if they've got two challenging drivers.
Agreed.
So obviously, yeah, we move into 22 and it kind of looks like, okay, the midfield is bunched up a little bit. I think to me, the racing did seem better.
At the beginning of the season.
At the beginning, yeah.
Second half of the season, it was just a dominance by Red Bull.
Well, yeah, and obviously it was like, okay, well, Mercedes have dropped out the mix, but that it was kind of exciting following the progress. Like, are they going to close the gap? You had Ferrari who were like, okay, well, these guys are quick, and Red Bull. And it was like, we're going to have a real good title battle on our hands. And it didn't pan out that way. You can say it was for many factors it didn't pan out that way, but ultimately, Red Bull had a better car. We then move into 2023 with high hopes of Mercedes coming back in the mix, Ferrari sorting their shit out. Throughout testing, you see Aston Martin, you're like, Christ, where's this come from? So now we're potentially thinking four cars going for it. No, that Red Bull spaceship. And fair play, this is not knocking Red Bull, you know. They've made an absolute stormer of a car. But it has not given us, I guess, what we were promised from like these new regulations of, you know, it's going to be easier for a team like Haas to be at the front because we're all spending the same amount of money. Yeah, but it hasn't worked out, has it? And Ted Kravitz was saying the other day that there was a, you know, there's, it's kind of a known thing in the paddock that the regulations were only brought in to stop Mercedes domination. Fair enough. But yeah, all we've ended up with is now Red Bull domination. So I don't know. That's kind of the mini rant over.
So I think it's interesting. And I put in the group chat yesterday, didn't I, about the fact that it's bizarre that you've gone, and you have touched on it there, but like you say, 21, the Max, the Lewis, some of the best racing we've seen for years, okay? It goes back to the years of like Schumacher, Damon Hill, you know, those type of battles you used to have. And it was phenomenal. The 2021 season was unreal. You know, it was amazing as a Mercedes fan, as an F1 fan, as a sports fan. It was just incredible. Then, you, like you say, you've kind of given all of that up for this. And don't get me wrong, I know what some people say, well, it's only after one race. And I agree with you. It's one race. It's done. And during qualifying, I don't know, even FP3, the top 14 teams, I think, were between like 1 second. And I thought to myself, okay, we're going to get close racing here. But you go into the race yesterday, and we predicted it, didn't it? We said yesterday, honestly, if Max goes off in the first corner, he's gone. Yeah, within seven laps, he was almost, what, 8 seconds ahead?
Oh, he was lapping like nearly a second quicker a lap.
Which
than...
is just mad for closer racing. The whole point is that you're meant to be bringing closer racing to F1, get rid of his whole dominance of one team. If anything, it hasn't worked.
But for the record, it does also go to show how good Max is. You know, talk about Lewis and Rosberg. You had two drivers that were at the absolute top. And now you've got Perez, who we concur is like a very good teammate.
Yeah.
But we're never going to see Perez and Max racing.
No.
Because 9 times out of 10, Max is obviously going to be quicker. So we're just not going to see that, you know. Max will just run away with it.
It was interesting yesterday, wasn't it, when Perez got asked, he was like, so, you know, can you challenge Max this year? And he's like, yeah, yeah. And everyone's at home going, yeah, like, fuck, no, you're going to, yeah.
You can't.
Yeah. But I think I'm just more disappointed because I was so looking, especially after the winter break, and we've discussed numerous times, getting F1 back. I was really excited. And like I say, it's only one race. It can change. And maybe in Saudi, we might see complete, you know, pendulum swing and it'd be completely different.
I'll be very surprised if that happens. I will just make that clear.
My gut feeling is at the moment, from what we saw this weekend, Red Bull could win every race this season.
Yeah, well, did you see George Russell actually said Red Bull, well, like, if I was to bet, Red Bull will win every single race this season. George Russell said that. And that is, we can talk about Max being quick. Max was operating at 50%.
Oh yeah,
it was evident they were holding back. They weren't unleashing that car to the full potential. Why would you? Go easy on the power unit. You know, you don't risk giving it too much out of a corner and losing the back end. You, like,
the way they keep going, they'll probably just use this power unit for the remainder of the season. They won't need to change anything.
Yeah, because it'll just be running at 50% the whole time.
It'll probably get to like race 12. They've already won the championship and they'll go, right, Max, do you want a bit of a challenge? We'll change your power unit. You start at the back and see what you can do.
We're going to start you with three wheels. Because this is just getting boring. We're just winning. it is a testament to Red Bull. I don't want anyone to think that this is anything against Red Bull, because it's absolutely not. It goes to show how unbelievable they are as a team. I mean, how good Adrian Newey is. But there is everything about that team that they've got absolutely spot on.
They've built a rocket ship. Mm. Like, that car is just ridiculous. And, you know, fair play to Red Bull. That what they've done there is just magnificent. Like, it's just... it's mad how one team, and, you know, we've said over the years with Mercedes, their dominance is how a team can do that. And you can't even blame Red Bull. Like, I'm not even angry at Red Bull being dominant. I'm more angry that actually, you know, they brought in these regulations to make closer racing. And actually, look at P3 for Alonso, 38 seconds.
All I'm saying, right, is...
mental.
Even as a Red Bull fan, I think looking at it impartially, would you rather another season like 21, where it was tight between Lewis and this is... It doesn't even have to be Lewis, you know. I had high hopes at the very beginning of last season. You can go back and watch the episodes where I was saying, you know, this is going to be great. I wish it was Lewis there, but... I'm happy seeing Charles and Max go for it the whole season, but it didn't pan out that way. So my question to you is, would you rather 2021 season, where you have got two drivers proper going for it, or two teams really could have done if there were four competent drivers. Competence, that's probably a harsh word to use. I don't mean it like that. If there were four world championship standard drivers.
19 Latifis.
Then I think... you would probably pick a 21 season over a 22, or if 23 carries on as we are anticipating it to. And that's just my opinion. And that's sort of, I think, what we were all expecting from the regulations. I don't think anyone was expecting Mercedes to come out and dominate after this regulation change.
No.
I certainly wasn't. I was expecting them to be challenging.
I thought, you know, going into... we'll dissect the race in a second, but... I was expecting Red Bull to win it, but not by such a
clean
margin. Yeah, we did our prediction. I knew they would win it, but not by such a dominant margin.
We won't talk about predictions because
I was not far off.
Yours was almost spot on.
But my predictions last week, I said it would be Max, Perez, Sainz, and obviously. Sainz finished fourth, Alonso third. But so you had a shocker.
I genuinely believed that, and this might have been, clearly this was foolish, but...
yeah, but have you learned nothing from last year? How many times did you go, right, I've read something that Mercedes...
No, but this wasn't even about... I hadn't read anything. This is through what I was watching. I knew the car, if you compare it to last year, weirdly, because they've actually lost time in race pace, and I'll bring up the stats in a bit to show you. The car looks so much nicer to drive.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, when you're actually, because I've got F1 TV Pro now, which I keep flexing, and you watch the onboards, throughout the corners, they are fighting it every single centimeter they move forward. They are, the wheels are snapping. They're having to correct it constantly. It looks like a handful to drive. And in my mind, I was thinking that has to be, surely that's got to be setup related. So I was thinking throughout practice, they'll get the setup nailed. Mm. And then we went into Q1 and I was like, okay, Q2. And they were like P3, P4. And I was like, I fucking knew it. I knew it. And then Q3, and I mean, it was one of, honestly, I found that one of the most enjoyable qualifying sessions that I've watched.
Yeah.
I thought it was so, so good. And I'm not sure if you can pull up the quali times, but it was so close, like throughout the board.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when they said we got closer racing, what they actually meant is we'll get closer qualifying. The race is actually going to be just dominant, but we're better qualifying.
Which we do have better qualifying sessions. I genuinely really enjoyed that qualifying session.
So qualifying. So you've got Max Verstappen, who did a 129.7. Who then did Sergio Perez, 129.8. Charles Leclerc was 130.
It's a 130.
So three tenths
like,
there.
He was flat. It was like
he was 130 flat. I mean, and even if you look up to Lance Stroll, who's in P8, he was 1:38, which is literally 1.1 seconds difference. But even that...
and what we do need to bear in mind is Lance Stroll is going to find a lot more pace over the coming weeks as he gets a bit more familiar with the car and as he actually heals from surgery that he had, as of today, Monday, it would have been like 13 days ago. Which is pretty impressive.
Well, can we, before we get on to Lance Stroll, because I want to have a bit of a discussion about him. Christian Horner yesterday, and fair play to Horner. He came out and he was very humble in, you know, the win yesterday. And he was very much like, you know, it's only the first race. And what people got to remember, we've only raced here. You know, we haven't practice anywhere else. We've only practiced in Bahrain. You had your testing in Bahrain. You come here. So it's a bit hard to know how the car is going to be in every other...
Because he doesn't want his illegal car being inspected.
So fair play to him. And that is kind of true. You know, they have just tested in one place, you know, and they've been there for the last couple of weeks. And actually, we don't know what it's going to be like when we go to Saudi. However, I can't see much changing from that Red Bull. And I can't see many other teams coming close. Are you right there?
It won't, like, come out.
If you don't know, Luke's got a water bottle here. There you go. Sorted.
No, it's not.
So... what's your thoughts on that? Because I get what he's trying to say. I guess he's trying to just like take a bit of pressure. He's like, look, you know, it's only first race. And I get this first race.
Genuinely, right, I don't think their car's illegal, just to clarify. But I genuinely believe he's trying to downplay it because he's worried that the FIA are going to introduce some regulation that is intended to hinder Red Bull to close that gap up, because we know that the regulations were brought in to stop domination of a singular team. And I don't think that, how Ted Kravitz phrased it, I don't think it was to personally go after Mercedes. No. I think it would have been any team that was dominating for that amount of time. I think if they've done it and they've ended up in exactly the same scenario, just with a different team, they are going to want to correct it, because it's not a great look for the sport.
No, but I do not think it's fair. I think if, for example, as you say, especially now with the cost cap, each team have the same money, same budget. It's not Red Bull's fault that the fact is they've built this dominating car. That's not down to them. They, you know, they've done what they've been told to do. You know, they've gone out there, done the concept, built that car, you know, which is like a rocket ship. As far as I'm concerned, it's the other team's fault for not actually building the car which is dominant. But then that can go back to when Mercedes were dominant. You know, everyone was like, oh, it's unfair that Mercedes is doing this. But, you know, I'm not being funny. Ferrari had the budget. Red Bull had the budget. It showed in 21, Red Bull were coming into the play. So, you know, it's down to the other teams now to actually come forward and actually start proving themselves. Because as far as I'm concerned, if you're going to try and, you know... hinder Red Bull's progression, I think that's a bit unfair. And for me, that's quite weird, because I'm actually, you know, standing up for
Red Bull. I don't think it's right. I think Red Bull shouldn't have to pay a price for being the best team on the grid.
No.
But I would also understand it from the perspective of, like, well, come on, we've brought in regulations to bring everyone closer together. This is not what we need. So the FIA will be looking at it from a sporting perspective, as in what's going to make our sport better.
Bring back the 21 cars.
Yeah, true. That's why I think Christian Horner will be downplaying the car. Whether it's fair or not, I'll let you make your mind up on that. But
I think if you're the FIA after yesterday's race, I know, so as I said, only race one, yep. You would be looking at it and going, okay. We promised closer racing, and you've got, you know, down to P10, 89 seconds.
Because I also didn't feel like there was, and I haven't actually got the figures on this, I feel like there wasn't as many overtakes yesterday as there was the year before.
No.
I do feel like Bahrain 22 was a really good race.
Oh, you had Leclerc, Max up top battling. You had, you know, the Mercedes in there.
Yeah, there was a lot going on in the midfield as well. And I do feel like this one wasn't... I mean, this wasn't a good race. We can put it that way.
Crofty triggered me yesterday. I normally like him, but he triggered me yesterday by going, oh, this is what we've been after, you know, good midfield battle. What? So you're going to change the whole regulation so you have a good midfield battle, but it doesn't matter about the front? No,
Was there a good midfield battle?
No. I mean, don't get me wrong, you had Tsunoda chasing after Albon, which was quite good. You had the good Alonso.
They didn't even show at the end.
No. You had the Hamilton Alonso part. You had Lance Stroll, George Russell. George Russell. Can I just say, right, that George Russell Alonso battle was beautiful. That was my highlight of the race yesterday.
What, like the first couple of laps?
It's before they pitted, the first pit stop.
Yeah.
But you know that where... Alonso went a bit wide. Oh, no, that was Hamilton, wasn't it? But there was earlier on, before the first pit stops, where George got overtaken, tried to come back at him. I thought it was beautiful racing. And that battle between Alonso and Hamilton was great as well.
Yeah, we did. Look, don't get me wrong. We had a few good battles on track. I'd try and Google quickly. How many overtakes were there at Bahrain yesterday? And then compare it to 2022. Because I'm sure in 2022 there was something like 50. And I feel like it just didn't seem like there was as many yesterday. Surely it just comes up as soon as you type it.
No, it doesn't. How many overtakes? I've got to read it now.
No, I wouldn't bother. But, yeah, I don't know. If someone does have the figures on that, send them to us.
So in 2022, there were 77 overtakes in the 2022 Bahrain GP, of which 36 were shown in live broadcast. Okay, so that 77.
Can we also say that whoever is on production...
you need to.
It's terrible. You have it, like when Alonso got past Lewis and it was still really, really close, they decided to cut to the replays of it. So
yeah,
surely,
what was that about?
Let the battle finish. We were all like dead intrigued as to what, you know, was Lewis going to come back at him? But nah, just cut to the replays of everything that we've already seen literally 30 seconds ago.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand that. That was a bit mad.
There was a few really bad ones that we were picking up on in the chat. But yeah.
It doesn't say.
If you know how many overtakes there were yesterday, do let us know, because to me it didn't feel like there was as many. But clearly, based on that stat, we don't. That's not even 50% of them that we've shown.
Don't go back and watch it.
Yeah, it's not worth your time.
It's not worth your time. Can we... We've finished on the race. I know we've gone straight into it. Today, I haven't even asked how you are. We've literally just gone straight into this today.
It's rant season.
Rant season, yeah. Let's talk about some of the main topics. So, start of the race. Quite a good start to the race. Everyone was quite clean.
Lewis got a mega start.
Yeah, he did. He has done for the last couple of seasons in there. You know, you look at last season. The Lance Stroll, Alonso... For me, that was a racing incident. There wasn't really much that could happen in that.
I think when I first saw it, I thought, Lance, you idiot. Like, what are you doing? And then I saw the replay and he was like sort of... he pulled out to go down the inside and Alonso did cut across really aggressively. Not like... Not that, that was wrong or anything, but I think he reacted as best he could. And yeah, luckily it didn't cause damage for... It didn't hinder either of their races, really. I know George got through, but... That didn't prove to be too much of an issue, did it, really?
No.
Seeing as they both finished ahead of him.
Those Aston Martins, obviously, Red Bull went off. And, I mean, Leclerc got a good start. He was in P2, quite comfortably away from Perez, really. Didn't look in too much...
Yeah, and that, you know, that's the thing. That I know he did get overtaken in the end, didn't he, by Perez. But the Ferrari was putting up a good fight for a while. Sainz... Contrary to what you said last week, and I think I said as well, about how he'll be much more in tune with the car, he was well off the pace.
He was, and he's obviously come out after the race and said it's a bit of a reality check. It's where we are. We just used the tyres too much. As soon as I pushed to defend from Fernando, this was later on in the race, I cooked the tyres, and then you need to start looking also to Lewis. We managed to hold off Lewis, but it gives us very little margin to play with in the race. Obviously, Leclerc,
he was like 13 seconds behind Charles.
Yeah, he was slow. He was slow yesterday.
Yeah, that's been a recurring theme.
Yeah,
throughout last season.
I think I started off last season really back in signs, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. And yeah, it's just... I know it's race one, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
No.
But it looks at this stage like nothing has changed from last season for him.
No.
He's still well off Charles.
He's just... It just looks like he's struggling. And actually, it's funny because he was the one who was most in tune with the car during testing, practice... But he looked like he really struggled with it in race pace yesterday.
Yeah.
Lap 41 saw Charles Leclerc retire. Power unit issue seems to be the main cause, is it not?
New year, same Ferrari.
Oh, yeah. I feel gutted for him. Have you seen some of the tweets?
It's always him as well. What the man is cursed. I don't know what. Go and see a priest or something. He has got some of the worst luck.
Yeah.
That humanity can offer someone. It is unbelievable.
Have you seen some of the tweets?
No.
Ferrari fans, see you in 2024. Yeah. You know, like literally, like, yeah, give up now. There's no point.
I just cannot believe it. I literally cannot believe it, because if it was going to happen to any team, it was going to be Ferrari, wasn't it? And I know, you know, McLaren had a much worse day than Ferrari in terms of reliability, but I think it's McLaren are not up there. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Ferrari were this close. And if you're listening, my fingers are very close to each other. They could have won the Constructors last year.
Yeah.
Or they could have given it a very good fight.
Realistically, they should have won one of the titles last year.
Yeah, I agree. And you know,
they screwed themselves over.
They dropped the ball. So everyone's thinking like, well, look, you know, they can't go backwards. Mm. So surely they got to go forward. They get rid of Binotto. They bring in a Fred Vasseur from Alfa Romeo. And
that's another meme of suddenly he rips off his face and there's Binotto underneath.
And it's just like the car breaks again.
Yeah.
And it might be harsh, because this might be the only time in the whole season that it happens. But it's a terrible, terrible, terrible start. So, you know, they are going to get mocked for it.
Carlos Sainz, how many seconds was he behind Max?
Oh, probably like, if Lewis was 50, he was probably like 48, 47.
48?
Yeah.
48 seconds. That is mental. That is a mental for P4. Carlos Sainz is almost 50 seconds behind the race winner. Yeah. That is just mad. That is just, you know, I can't comprehend how mental that is. That, you know, you've got Perez who's 11 seconds behind Max, and literally it's 38 seconds to Fernando Alonso who's in P3.
Yeah, so I mean, Alonso is what, 27 seconds behind Perez?
Yeah. You know, and it's just mental. It's just, I really, you look down the table and P12 was lapped.
Yeah.
You know, Lando Norris was lapped twice. Granted, he was in and out of that pit stop.
He did have a...
six pit stops.
Yeah, he had McLaren. I mean, we should talk about that. That was the race from hell, was it not?
Which one do you want to talk about first, McLaren or Ocon?
We'll talk about McLaren and then Ocon. Man, that was a disaster as well.
I've never seen anyone have such a bad race than Ocon.
So McLaren, Piastri, I can't remember what lap it was, had to change his steering wheel for whatever reason. Something happened. They did say, I can't remember. And then, like, so they swapped the steering wheel over and he's just sitting there and it's like rebooting. It's like coming out of like McLaren graphics. And it's just like, guys, surely not. So like he's sitting there and in the end, the engine just cuts.
He's just like, come on, lads.
Yeah, like, what the fuck are we doing? And yeah, you know, so he retires on his F1 debut, which is not ideal. But all the while, Lando Norris is having to have some like hydraulic fluid.
Topped up
every time he comes in the pits, which is like double the amount of a normal person because he's got this issue.
But it was literally like every 12 laps he was in.
Did he pit like six times?
Six times he pitted.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a real disaster. One thing I will say, and I said this yesterday, and I know you're like, mate, it was just because the fresh tyres. He was on fresher tyres, but he was sticking with Lewis and Alonso during that little battle. And Sainz once. You know, Lando was sort of just there behind for a while. So, you know, I don't think McLaren should sweat too much at the moment. I think forget about this race, improve, and let's see where they are in the next few races. And then I think they might have to worry if we're not seeing improvements. But I feel like Lando can get pace out of that car. And I'm sure, you know, Piastri Piastri will help out.
Danny
as well.
Rick's just laughing. He's like, oh, thank God I'm out of that.
Yeah, he probably was. Unlike Seb, who's probably thinking, for fuck's sake.
Now you decide to perform.
Yeah, like, what? He hasn't had a good... Well, okay, he had the Ferrari in like 2018, which was competitive, and 2019 for a little bit, but it wasn't a legal
time
car
to retire.
Yeah, and then he goes to Aston Martin, has a stinker car. After... Well, he went there after it was the Racing Point, and the Racing Point was actually quite a good car.
It was a good car. So Perez won with that.
Yeah, then he goes to Aston Martin, and yeah, stinks. Stays there for 2 years, retires, and now they have a great car. It must be infuriating. Question.
Yeah.
Would Seb do as well as Alonso has done in that car? Where would Seb have finished yesterday?
P5.
Well, you don't reckon he would have got signs?
I think, right...
The four-time world champion.
No, granted. But coming with that comes a passion and desire. You saw Fernando Alonso yesterday. That guy has got... I know he's the oldest guy on the grid, but he's got so much determination. You, the way you were listening to his radio messages yesterday, the way that he had that passion to hunt down everything, go for those type of moves... I don't know if you've seen over the years Sebastian Vettel, maybe P4 for Seb, but I don't think he has that level of passion that what Fernando Alonso has.
But so could a competitive car have invigorated him?
Potentially. We don't know, but I'm only going by what I've seen over the last year.
I definitely
year,
agree
so.
That it did seem like he sort of fell out of love with it, yeah. But... You know, he had...
I guarantee Seb, if he had a competitive car last year, he would be on the grid this year.
Yeah, that is probably true, which is why he's probably thinking... I feel like he's got to be a little bit gutted.
Oh, yeah.
A little 100%. Bit pissed off. Like, man, come on, Seb. You stay one more season, you would have had a lovely car.
No, I think you've just got a... With Fernando Alonso at the moment, you've got... He's got like a rocket up his ass. He's just like going.
So what happens, right, if Stroll is not performing? You know, let's say Fernando Alonso finishes ahead of the Mercedes in the driver standings at the end of the season, but Stroll is below them. What happens then? Do they start? I know it won't happen because Daddy Stroll and whatnot. But do they have to then think, maybe he's not the man for us?
Potentially. I think it's... I don't know. I think Stroll showed pure class this weekend.
Oh, yeah. And this is... I'm not like... This is just a hypothetical...
Yeah, you know.
I think Stroll is good enough to...
Do you know what the annoying thing is? I know we gave him stick last year, but I actually really like him now.
I still am kind of not a big fan.
I listened to his interviews yesterday and...
I definitely admire getting in the car after that surgery.
Can we touch on this? Okay, because this kind of... And I know some fans were like, oh, well, what's up to you? You know, what do you care? I don't think he should have raced this weekend.
It probably wasn't in his best interest physically.
I don't think you saw... This is a guy who only had surgery 13 days ago, okay? He went through such a rigorous, intense recovery program to get back in that car. And you could see throughout the weekend, there's a clip of when they're doing the national anthem at the beginning where he tries to move his wrist around and you see the agony in his face, okay? Like pure agony of this guy who... Whether he was forced, whether it was his decision, whether
he
was...
See, I don't think he was forced.
I think he wanted to get in there.
I think it was determination.
But if you're told by whoever that, oh yeah, you go race, you're not going to go, well, I'm not so sure if I should, because you're told
that he might not have necessarily been cleared. He might have been advised against it, but...
Did you see him getting out of the car?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not being funny. Surely, if you're at the FIA and you go and crash into a wall or something, and you, or you go up in, you know, fire like a Grosjean type thing, and you have to get out of the car. He's not getting out of that car quick.
But what you have to remember, right, is in Formula One, every race day is a final.
Yeah.
Like, missing just one race can be catastrophic to your chances of winning a title.
So then my point is, what from a FIA point of view, what's the most important then? They go about, you know, driver safety, or is it the fact that actually...
Yeah, but
a point.
But I think it was driver safety or whatever. I mean, he must have, he would have, if he didn't feel like he was safe to drive that car, he wouldn't have driven.
Do you really think that?
100%.
So you've got your dad who runs it. You've got doctors who go, oh yeah, well, I suppose we can get you through. Do you really think he's going to turn around and go to that team? Oh, I don't think I want a weekend.
How many rugby players or football players do you think go on the fields with injuries, just popping painkillers just to get through it?
He broke his wrist. It's the main thing you use when you drive. You're not using your nose, are you?
Did he break him? I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah. He had full surgery on one of them. He got a plate and everything in it.
Yeah, but I thought it was a fracture, was it not?
No, fracture on one of the wrists. The other one was a full break.
Why is it not in a cast?
I don't know.
Well, surely you can't not have it in a cast.
Well, he had a plate. He's got a plate put in.
I say he's got a cast, basically. That supports it.
Regardless.
I just think he wouldn't have driven if it was not possible. I think he definitely pushed himself to the limit.
Because there's no one there saying, this is not right for you. And that's the sad... For me, that's the sad... Thing.
But you don't know that that's the case. There could have been... I'm sure that doctors were not there just like, 100%, mate, you're fine. Get in the car. I'm sure they would have been saying, look, we really don't advise this.
So... Well, even Lauren Stroll said to Martin Brundle yesterday, they were like, oh, you know, is Stroll, he's doing a full race here. Is he all right to do that? And Lawrence was like, oh, yeah, he did a full sim the other day. Fine.
Well, yeah, but again, you've still got to keep face. He's not going to come onto the like cameras in front of everyone where all his competitors are watching this, be like, nah, it's not good for him today.
No,
I get confidence and be like...
Yeah, no, I get that. I just felt... My opinion, it was too soon.
Yeah,
granted, he did a phenomenal job yesterday, but that guy, you could see he was in agony.
I agree, it was too soon.
And he had a broken toe.
But I firmly believe that if he didn't want to race, he wouldn't have raced.
No, but coming with that, you have a lot of pressure, don't you? So sometimes, how many times have you gone out and played because you felt, oh, I have to go and play?
If I felt physically, like, unable to play, I wouldn't play.
Yeah, but you playing down the salts on the Tuesday.
Well, don't use me as an example if I'm then not good enough. I think I understand your point, but I genuinely think if he wasn't cleared medically, he wouldn't have been allowed to race.
Mm. I just find it weird that he had passed all his FIA checks, where you saw him literally getting out of the car.
But you think how impartial the FIA are in that? Where like. We've seen how seemingly interested they are in driver safety by banning all jewellery in the vehicle and stuff like that. So I think it does mean a lot to them. And it would even more so because if they clear someone and something happens, they'd be liable.
Yeah, no.
They'd be the ones having a lawsuit slapped on their desk Monday morning.
I think for me, I just felt sorry seeing... There was clips throughout this weekend where you saw him in pure agony. And I felt, for me, I was just like, that's hard. I just felt a bit bad for him. But I think he was in pain,
but I think he definitely would have been doing everything possible to make sure he was racing. And I think for him, it was best that he was racing because that's to me what I think he would have wanted to have been doing.
Yeah. I don't know. Perhaps whether it's just
the best thing for his wrists, probably not. But he has now got... a week or two off, obviously, because we haven't got a race this weekend.
Yeah.
So he'll have a bit of time to recover. I'm sure he'll be doing rehabilitation.
I don't know. I just felt a bit sorry for him. But what do I know?
Poor guy receiving £10 million a year.
Yeah, but I don't look at it from the money point of view. I look at it from actually like, this guy's had surgery like 12 days ago.
I genuinely feel like I would feel worse for him if he didn't get to race, because I feel like he would have been gutted missing... opening race of the season in what is a really good car. And I feel that he would be in a much better place having raced.
Oh, yeah.
Granted, it was safe for his wrist, and that doesn't mean, you know, being in pain is one thing, but if it was going to cause permanent damage, well, then obviously that would be ridiculous.
Well, you heard him practice, didn't you? You know, when you go into that corner, make sure you do a full lock.
Yeah, but that's because he was turning like this, wasn't it? Like,
it was going.
So he didn't have his. When he was turning right, for example, he didn't have his left hand, like his left thumb, through.
Yeah, he couldn't do the full 180.
He had it up and round. Yeah.
He couldn't do the full 180 because he was in so much pain.
But he did do that in quali.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it was more a preservation thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll probably get slated for looking out for...
being soft.
Well, I was just looking out for his welfare.
I thought the older generation were supposed to be a bit tougher, you know? Got that World War II grit inside them.
Not that old.
You got nothing. you know what one person I actually do want to talk about? Nyck de Vries.
Yeah.
Had a terrible race.
Yeah.
Really bad.
You shocked?
Yeah. He was 1.1 second in terms of fastest lap.
Yeah.
1.1 seconds slower than Yuki.
Yeah.
In the same car.
Finished P14. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard. It's obviously his first race. We'll see how it goes.
Finished P14, but bear in mind we had, what, three retirements?
Yeah.
We had Hülkenberg that had a damaged car.
Had to change his wing, a front wing.
And we had Lando Norris that just didn't have a car, basically.
Spent more time in the pits than he did on the grid.
So that's five places, realistically, that... And I can't remember whether he finished ahead of K-Mag or not anyway, but...
He finished behind K-Mag.
But, you know, that was, you know, I feel he had a really bad race.
Yeah. It wasn't the greatest debut for AlphaTauri.
Whereas Yuki had a good race.
Yuki did. I you know, he had a great battle towards the end with Albon.
That Williams, by the way, not a bad car.
No.
But it looks like it's the quickest car on
straight.
The straights, judging by speed trap data. But yeah, they've taken a step forward.
Can I just say, Logan Sargeant actually impressed me this weekend.
He was the highest finishing rookie.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he was, yeah.
Was it P11? P12?
P12.
Yeah, that was it.
P12. Let's talk about Pierre Gasly. Not a bad debut for Alpine. Finished P9. Took a couple of points there.
There was a lovely little turnaround. Where does he start? He started last, yeah.
Yeah, he was last. Bottas in the Alfa Romeo finished P8. He was strong.
That Alfa Romeo, I'm telling you, is a good car.
But are they going to do what they did last year? Get 50 points by mid-season and they'll score any points after?
Who knows? Do you know who got fastest lap of the race?
Zhou.
Guan Yu Zhou in the Alfa Romeo, fastest lap. I called it.
Yeah, well, this was like the two laps before the end and he went on fresh softs.
Hey, man.
No, bare fuel in there.
He still got it.
Yeah, he did.
I think this Alfa Romeo, last week I said this.
You did, yeah.
Is a good car and it's one to watch.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can look at the jump of Aston Martin. It's incredible. But I feel like Alfa Romeo have taken a step forward too.
Yeah, no, I agree. Ocon. This guy got a 35-second penalty throughout the race.
Yeah, he got 35 seconds worth of penalties.
Worth of penalties, yeah.
It kind of just went from bad to worse. I have
never seen anything like it.
Well, so
I have, but I have not this bad.
He got the 5-second penalty for...
exceeding the grid start.
He went past his box, so he got that. So he didn't park on the little yellow line that you're supposed to. He then didn't serve that penalty correctly. So after his 5-second penalty, he then got a 10-second penalty.
Well, because they came in and they started working on the car at 4.6 seconds.
Yeah. So
rather than five. So he got that.
He then got a penalty because when he was coming into the pit, he was speeding. I mean, and then I just lost track, to be honest. I don't know what else he got the penalties for.
I don't know.
Was it, how long was that? What was the duration of that penalty for the speeding?
He had a 10-second one, didn't he? I can't remember what that was for.
He got the 10-second one for not serving the 5-second penalty correctly.
It was class. He did say, though, all this stuff he was doing, some of the stuff he was doing during testing that no one said anything, like the speed coming in and, you know, that type of stuff. But
it was
a carnage day for him, a carnage
and
day.
And then he just retired.
He was just like, I've had enough, get me in.
It's not worth it.
Get me on the plane.
At what point do you call that? Because they could have gone around collecting data, I guess. But I think the Alpine looked a lot better this weekend than it did in testing.
Yeah. Pierre Gasly, I was happy for.
Well, I mean, because they sort of switched roles. Gasly, terrible qualifying. Ocon, really good, like, it's really strong qualifying.
Yeah.
And then come race day, it's the complete opposite. Terrible race for Ocon. Brilliant race for Gasly.
Mercedes. I don't know if I want to talk about this,
yes,
but we will. Mercedes, Lewis Hamilton P5, George Russell P7. I mean, not a great day at the office for the Mercedes. And George Toto Wolff's reaction afterwards was pretty, not the greatest, was it? He wasn't overly optimistic about it.
I mean, I'm sure you've all heard, I don't even think they're rumours. I mean, firstly, there's this new side pod. This is a bit of a rumour. Is there like a variation on the side pod? Like, have they got a B car? Lewis has denied it, but I'm sure we've actually heard people from Mercedes saying, like, no, we do. I don't know what to believe, but the rumours, I think it was pretty well known that at Imola, there's a huge upgrade package coming.
I feel like we've gone back a year.
Let me finish. Toto Wolff was saying yesterday that we cannot wait until Imola. This is very much a
case. No shit.
Yeah, I mean, we could have told you that during testing.
Christ.
He said in his interview with Ted that, yeah, we're going to be throwing the kitchen sink at it effectively. Now they need, whatever they're going to do needs to be ready for Jeddah.
I feel like it's just...
But are we going to see a plan B for this car?
Why are we on plan B after race one? That's ridiculous.
I think what I mean by that is like the B concept.
Yeah.
Are we going to see side pods on this Mercedes?
Put something on it. Take them all off. Who cares? Because something's like got to change.
That's got to be where this downforce issue is coming from. It's got to be. No one else has it like this. And I just feel like it was a brilliant idea to go for this no side pod concept, you know,
in 2022. At the beginning, it was a great idea.
But I think they truly believed once they fixed the porpoising issue, bouncing, whatever the fuck it was, that now we can focus on the performance and we can extract the performance from it. But it hasn't worked out. And I think now is the time to react.
Yeah.
Don't leave it too long.
You know, it kind of irritates me sometimes when you're like, oh, we're going to wait to Imola. We got a package coming up in Imola. Great. But after what we've seen this weekend and the dominance of Red Bull, and even starting to see the dominance of Aston Martin, I'm not being funny. If you're Mercedes, you're going to be worried because, like you said last week, if we keep going this way, they're going to be a top four team. They're going to be P4 team.
Yeah,
if they're not for careful. Sure.
And if you see on the screen behind the cameras, right, I got this little graphic up. So we've got the 2023 versus...
I like this, by the way.
Yeah, it's cool, huh? Versus the 2022 mean race pace.
Yeah.
So, obviously, the lower the figure, the better. So, McLaren, actually, were 2.2 seconds quicker this year, on average, than they were last year.
Yeah.
Now, you have to take that one with a big pinch of salt, because Norris was on fresh tyres more or less the whole race.
Yeah.
So their pace would look a lot quicker on paper. Aston Martin have obviously gained near enough 2.2 seconds.
Oh, Norris had 5 pit stops, sorry, not
5
6.
5 pit stops. So Aston Martin clearly the biggest gainers.
And yeah, 100%.
We see that on track.
But Williams, though.
Williams with a huge gain.
Yeah.
1.85 seconds, right? But forget about the rest, because where I want to take you to is Ferrari and Mercedes, who have both, the only two teams
worse
on
off
the whole grid, to have got slower. So, impressively, Ferrari have actually got 0.7 slower, which is unbelievable. I mean, we can sit here and complain about Mercedes, but they've actually only got 0.5 slower, so 0.05 of a second.
You've got Red Bull, who are almost 0.4 quicker.
Yeah, I mean, Red Bull have found time, which, I mean, honestly, Red Bull could have actually just spent the £150 million on catering, and they still would have been the fastest car.
Yeah. Fair play to Mike Crack and Aston Martin, though.
What?
Mike Crack. He's done well. They, you know, that team... Let's touch on quickly... I like this. This is good. Let's touch on Alonso, because... And Stroll for Aston Martin overall this weekend. Practice, they look great. They came to qualifying. Bit, I mean, Alonso was delighted. He was like very happy with P5. He was like, cool, it's fine, he's happy. I think from a fan point of view, we're a bit like, ooh, you know, they showed all this pace, you know, in practice. Where's that gone in qualifying? However, you know, Alonso, I'm not his biggest fan, but he's got his 99th podium, and he just had fun out there. He was brilliant. Some of his radio messages, haha, bye-bye.
Yeah, you could tell he's enjoying it. And I think he's had... I mean, look, a lot of the time, I don't feel bad for Alonso. I think his social skills are pretty terrible.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like he's burnt a lot of bridges.
It's like he deliberately goes out of his way to be a bad guy.
Yeah.
But some people do that anyway. That's
so a lot of the times where I think he's ended up at teams with like a terrible car, I think, well, it's karma. Like, but I, you know, now he's obviously ended up in the hot seat, and I'm excited to see what we can get from him this season. I mean, obviously I haven't seen a competitive Alonso realistically since like 2011.
Yeah.
Or like that sort of era. It's just going to be interesting to see. Well, obviously, he's like 10 years older now.
He's still got it.
Oh, 100%. I do not deny that and whatsoever.
That gives me great hope for Lewis Hamilton. Did you see that lie detector test for Lewis Hamilton?
Yeah, I saw clips of it.
Are you going to continue until you get that 8th title? He was like, yes.
He will get it. He already got it.
Do you know what? If it's anything like this Mercedes, he's not going to get it.
A thought that crossed my mind.
Yeah.
If this car does not improve in 2023, does Lewis jump ship?
Oh, he's got to. If he wants that 8th title and this Mercedes is going backwards, does he have time on him to then wait around and go, oh yeah, I'll wait around until we get better? No.
If you're Christian Horner, right, Sergio Perez is, you know, contract is coming to an end. Lewis Hamilton is at the end of his tether with Mercedes. Does Christian Horner take Lewis Hamilton on? This obviously hypothetical.
That would be tricky for me.
I know this sounds well Drive to Survive, but like just as a hypothetical situation, could you imagine? Like I'm saying, firstly, does Christian Horner ever think Max and Lewis on the same team? That could be impressive, or is it? That's a recipe for disaster. I know this would never ever happen. But I'm just saying, if you're Christian Horner and the opportunity for whatever reason did arise, does he take it or does he actually turn it down?
Lewis takes out Max every race just to stop him from winning his titles.
Lewis is like, I don't even want number 8. I just don't want him to get number 4. I'm assuming he's going to win this year and, you know, next season Lewis is at Red Bull.
I can't ever see him going to Red Bull.
No, but the thing is, I also can't see him ever at another team.
No, I agree with you. And I don't think he should leave. But I think if you've got a team who is going backwards, which from what we're seeing at the moment, again, I'm going to say it's a first race. It's still very early in the season.
And we're going to be naturally dramatic. We support them.
Yeah. And you've got Aston Martin, who in theory are coming above Mercedes at the moment. Mercedes going backwards.
Because I actually also had this thought. Lewis at Aston Martin. It's another British team.
Lewis at Ferrari.
What, to replace Sainz?
Potentially.
They're not going to replace Leclerc, but then if you've got Lewis Hamilton in the team, he's instantly golden boy.
Oh. But if you've got Lewis in the team, he will then turn that Ferrari team around. All those issues would just go out the window.
That would be a mega pairing, wouldn't it? Leclerc, Hamilton.
Like I say, Leclerc, and I said this at the end of last year, Leclerc has only got a few more years. I know he's still very young, but for his opportunity, he's been in this Ferrari team a long time now.
Yeah.
And, you know, last year was his perfect opportunity to win a title. And they flunked it. He's running out of time because people like Aston Martin's, Mercedes will get better again. He's losing his time to actually really get these opportunities to win titles.
Yeah, no, I agree. Do you know another rumour that I read earlier today? Again, I'll stress the word rumour. I don't know how true this is. It was actually on Instagram.
Was it?
Yeah. Apparently, Lawrence Stroll offered Toto Wolff the team principal position for Aston Martin in 2022.
Did he? Oh, I wouldn't like that.
No, neither. But imagine if, like, I know Toto, like, is a third owner of Mercedes or whatever. So just let us live out these stupid fantasies. Imagine if just Toto and Lewis go to Aston Martin.
Ooh.
That would be quite interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I wouldn't want Lewis to go anywhere else because I love supporting Mercedes.
I know what you mean. I do. I get it. No, obviously, these are all just...
Can you imagine walking around in the Aston Martin hat?
I mean, to be honest, I go around in any of the hats. I'm like the football fan that just wears like any T-shirt. But with football, I absolutely don't. Like, I wear like Premier League, strictly Liverpool, obviously. But with the team hats, I just like them. You know, like, got that new era Red Bull hat, which is quality. I like the McLaren hats. I like the colour.
Yeah, so I'm wearing a McLaren hoodie. I like this. Our only saving grace at the moment to not have a Red Bull championship win this year is, since 2017, the winner of the Bahrain Grand Prix has always finished second in the championship.
Yep.
Charles Leclerc last year finished P2. Lewis Hamilton the year before finished P2. Could... I don't know who else would win the championship.
I imagine this
curse may be broken.
Curse, yeah, is going to be broken. One thing also about Max, just another stat to reiterate how impressive he's been.
Yeah.
It's something like out of the... I can't remember when it's from. It's from like Imola last year, I think. He's won 75% of the races, which in the same time span, not even Lewis did.
Fair play. Max is in a league of his own at the moment.
Yeah, especially with the car. Do you know, my God, I'm full of content today, right? I was reading something.
Got anything else up on the screen?
And it was Alex Albon, an interview Alex Albon they did. I think it was actually over the weekend.
Yeah.
He was talking about, he expressed how he wasn't throwing any shade at Red Bull, but he said that car is built for Max Verstappen. He said Max likes an incredible amount of nose. So he was also saying, I've always been a very, very front end heavy driver.
Yeah.
And he was talking about his examples of like who he's raced along different people, like George and Charles or whoever, and he's always had more front end than them, but it's just how he likes the car. He said Max takes it to a different level. He said what it's like, this is his analogy, it's like you play Call of Duty and you turn the sensitivity to maximum, so like as soon as you touch that stick, all of a sudden you've like done like three spins. So he was saying that it's just like so incredibly hard to drive because it is purely built for how Max wants it.
Yeah.
Which I completely get. And I just thought it was really interesting that the cars can be tailored so specifically to like an individual. I just find it incredible. And it's like, you know, no wonder Max is doing so well in that car. Not only has he got a really good car, it's also built to how he wants it, which makes complete sense when you've got a driver that is, you know, sure, Ferrari built the car exactly to Michael Schumacher's.
It works for them, doesn't it?
And Mercedes would have been the same with Lewis, because if you've got a driver that is absolutely smashing it, just give him the best car.
And you'll get the most out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I have to say, don't get me wrong, I'm not the biggest fan of Red Bull, but I respect what they've done, and they've done phenomenal. Max with that car, he's just, like I said, he's in a league of his own. He's just dominating.
One thing I am excited for, I cannot wait for the, boy, it's easy to win when you're in the fastest car, comments to start coming about Max, because they will come. And if they don't, it's unfair.
Very unfair.
Had many years of Lewis being told he's only winning because he's in the fastest car.
Yeah.
Partially true. Kind of how the sport works. But why isn't Perez winning? He's in the fastest car.
Yeah. Well, it's not being tailored to him, is it?
Why wasn't Bottas winning? He was in the fastest car. It takes a good driver to have a good car to dominate in these ways.
I tell you what, though, I do miss the 21 season.
Let it go.
I can't, I don't mean the Max and that, but I mean that type of battle, the rivalry. I loved that whole, not, it could be any other two drivers, I don't mind. It could be Max and Leclerc, could be Max and Sainz, whoever.
I do miss the rivalry where you had the deep, like, Mercedes versus Red Bull thing. Like, because it was throughout the team. It was Toto and Christian throwing punches left, right and centre. And yeah, obviously Lewis and Max. And you could see the passion in the team then. You just don't have that at the moment.
No.
And I think we thought we were going to get that with Ferrari and Red Bull last year. Obviously, it started off nice. It always starts off nice. It never ends nice. But then we just didn't get it. So, you know, we'll obviously look forward to Jeddah next week.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get some news of some Mercedes side pods, maybe some Ferrari reliability.
I can't wait for Lewis to finish in P10 and they come over the radio. And, Lewis, that's a P10. Do you even get a point for that?
Yeah, Jeddah was rough last year. But one thing I will say about it, what a fantastic track.
Oh, lovely track.
Unbelievable.
Lovely track. Could be red flags, could be safety cars.
I was surprised there wasn't a safety car at Bahrain.
There was, well, the virtual, but they were not full-on safety
VSC,
car.
VSC, because. No, I mean, I know Leclerc broke down in a convenient spot, so they could just push him in, but especially at, you know, turn one.
Yeah.
Yeah, was quite disappointed, but I'm sure Jeddah is going to give us a safety car or two and more than likely a red flag at some point.
It wouldn't be Jeddah without a red flag.
It's true.
Love it. Shall we finish on fan questions?
Yes.
Have we missed anything? I feel like we've literally gone straight into it. Well, no holding back here.
I did tell you there was a lot to talk about, just maybe not specifically within the race.
Yeah, we've covered a lot.
It was all related to the race, but not like the race.
Let us know what your thoughts. Are you optimistic for this season that we're going to have a three-way battle or two-way battle? Or what is your thoughts? Because I feel a bit disheartened. And I know it's only race one, but seeing how dominant Red Bull were has made me think that actually we're in for a very long season.
Yeah. No, agreed. But we do want to hear your thoughts. Are you dreading the season? Or do you think, actually, it is going to turn around and we won't see Red Bull just run away with it?
So, Brad has said, is F1 done for the next 2 years?
Oh, yeah, well, it kind of relates to what we've just spoken about. I'm going to stay optimistic and I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I believe that the gap will be closed.
By which team?
Well, I mean, my money would be on Ferrari, realistically.
Not if you're looking at those stats ahead.
Not those stats, but I feel like they've still got such a good foundation to work with. Mercedes have a lot more work to do. And that Aston Martin, that's going to keep improving. So, yeah.
No, I agree.
Yeah, but my money would be on Ferrari. And Charles still looked quick.
My money is on the fact that we're going to have a battle for P2, 3 and 4. And yeah, P1 that, will just walk away. That's my gut feeling.
That P2, 3 and 4 may be the more interesting battle of the year.
You don't win anything for those, though. Harry underscore Thorn 98 has said, can Aston Martin stay in P2 and challenge Red Bull come Abu Dhabi by having much more CFD time?
No. Contrary to what I just said, I don't think Red Bull will be challenged closely. I just think there are going to be some races where teams will be able to get closer to them and they might get the upper hand on them. I think maybe next season with like, you know, a whole winter of development,
yeah,
it is entirely possible the way Aston Martin are going. So let's wait and see. I still think if any team is going to close that gap to Red Bull, it is Ferrari.
Yeah. Never. Nathan Moore 24 said, is Lance really Alonso's hero?
No, his dad is, because he writes his checks. And I think it puts a, because you never even really saw Seb do this, it puts him in an awkward situation.
Yeah,
you know, what can you say? I mean, your boss is his dad.
I like the fact that they wouldn't tell him, well, from what we heard, that they wouldn't tell him over the radio who went into the back of him.
That would have fucking pissed me off.
Did he get a penalty? Have they got a penalty? Why, you know, and then literally it's like,
I just, what would be so annoying is if they just protect Stroll the whole time because his dad owns the team. And
my crack is about to really lay into Stroll, then looks around and Lawrence is staring at him.
You're what?
Girl,
that like, joke will never get old.
Cracky looks around. He's about to lay into Stroll. Looks around. There's Lawrence Stroll staring at him. He's like,
"Oh, do you want a coffee, bud?"
Yeah, really good. P20. Yeah, well done. Jake has said, "Will Mercedes have the same season as last season?"
Oh, I really fucking hope not. But I think unless they somehow are able to fundamentally change this car, then potentially they're going to have a worse season. They really need to be able to change the car dramatically, which is a big ask when you've got a cost cap. But, you know, the fact that we came into the season with all these sort of, this speculation that they've actually got like a different concept car built and whatever it is, I don't know. I just have no idea, but yeah, I think it could be a worse season.
Oh.
But let's see what they have in store.
Louis has said, if Mercedes have another shocking season, will you go to support another team?
Yes. Red Bull. I only want to celebrate. No, obviously.
You want to be part of the Orange Army, don't you?
It's complicated as well because I would say I'm more a Lewis fan really than a Mercedes fan.
Yeah.
You know, if Lewis jumped ship to Alfa Romeo, I'd be an Alfa Romeo fan. Do you know what I mean? And
Yeah. And
I think it would be different when Lewis retires. I probably follow George, I guess. I've always been said like that. I like the British drivers. I think support your homegrown. I also love Charles Leclerc. I'd love to, you know, once Lewis retires or whatever, I'd love to see Charles do well.
What was interesting, this isn't a question, but there's a stream that was going around for, you know, Lando Norris's brand Quadrant. So one of, I think his best friends was on a stream the other day saying about, you know, Lando, and he answered it in a very cryptic way of going, you're going to see a very different Lando next year. Like, it's very, very cryptic. And a lot of fans were going, what does this mean?
Is he going to leave?
Is he already tied up to somewhere next year? That, because he was very much like, I see if I can find it and I'll send it to you. He was very much kind of like, oh yeah, next season's going to be a big season for Lando next year. Like very full on, like just putting it out there. Like he either knows that McLaren are going to come and be beast next year, or he knows he's actually, which is very untrue.
I think if you know that you're going to be good next year at this point, then why the fuck aren't you good this year? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. My gut feeling is he already knows where he's going next year.
I think, you know, Lando is incredibly talented. For whatever reason, I can't really take to Lando. You know, naturally, I do like to see him do well, as I say, support the homegrown. But I can't really take to him. You know, like if George and Lando were fighting, and this has got nothing to do with Mercedes, I'd want to see George win.
I said this the other day. I was talking about this the other day. And I don't know if it's a bit of arrogance with him that makes it hard to...
I think it is. I find sometimes he does seem a little bratty and he has got this arrogance about him.
Which is bizarre, really, because for someone who is a leader of a team, he hasn't won a race.
Never won a race.
Granted, this McLaren hasn't been great.
But he hasn't won a race.
Yeah, true. He hasn't done anything in the sport to warrant
an arrogance. No, and I agree.
I know some people are like that in most sports and all of that stuff. And I like him. I agree with you. There's something about him that it is hard to take to him. Whereas someone like George, it's just hard to take to him.
Yeah. But this is, look, don't get me wrong. Lando deserves a car that can compete. He's a good driver. And I think if he has a car that can compete, then I don't think we'd be having this discussion about him not having any race wins. I think he's certainly capable of winning races. But you need the car to do it. And if I was his agent, I'd be saying, look, mate, we need to get you out of here ASAP. McLaren are not, you know, I don't know what, he's clearly not following in the footsteps of Lewis Hamilton, maybe, you know, they get a young British driver. And I saw him say something about Lewis, like, well, you know, he came into like the best car and whatever. And, you know, if he was coming into McLaren like me now, he wouldn't have won a race. Whether that's true or not.
When he went to McLaren, Lewis didn't win his first season, did he? He had a competitive car, don't get me wrong.
What do you mean?
When Lewis went to McLaren, his first time, when his first season.
He won a race?
No, he won. Sorry, he didn't win the championship in his first season. That's what I meant. Sorry, I know he won a race.
He came second by 1 point.
Still not competitive guys.
He won a race after 6 races, didn't he? I mean, that might be true, but that's luck of the draw, mate. Like, that's what sometimes I feel like he feels he's entitled to, like.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work like that. There have been great drivers that have never won races because they've just never had the opportunity. And, you know, I'll stand by the fact that I believe Lando deserves the opportunity.
Yeah, we've said this before.
But not by like, you don't just deserve it because you deserve it. You know, I think he deserves it on the merit that he's a good driver. But to believe you're entitled to that, I think, is sometimes the impression that he gives off. And I think that's where we get that sort of, like, arrogance, perhaps, like, unlikable characteristics.
Well, you see, but we were still back him. Look at Russia, where he was screaming down the radio, should we bring you in? No, I'm staying out. And look, he screwed his own race. Do you know what I mean? And that goes just to immaturity, in the sense of you're on the cusp of getting your first race win. You got a team who are a bit undecisive in what they want to make the
decision.
Because
they don't know how to win a race either anymore, do they? Let's be real.
So, but you know, like in... There was a couple of comments, wasn't there, after Monza, like, oh, you know, I could have won the race, you know, today. It's just, actually, be happy for your team. Yeah, do you know what I mean? There's loads of comments which have come out, and I want him to do well, and I agree with you. He deserves to be in a top team. He's shown he's got the quality.
I don't know. He'll go to one, 100%.
Yeah. Where? We will find out shortly, but...
Well, we know it won't be Mercedes. George isn't going to go
I still
anywhere.
Think it's going to be Red Bull.
I think Red Bull or Ferrari. But I think Ferrari, if Sainz is still as far behind Leclerc...
Oh, that bromance is going to get broken up, isn't it?
Lando takes his seat, his dream seat at Ferrari.
It's like taking his girlfriend, isn't it?
It's bad.
It's like
bad.
What Max Verstappen did with Kvyat.
But I feel like... I'm just not sure if Christian Horner would want two very, very competent drivers.
Mm.
I feel like it's in their best interest to just have a decent number two for Max.
Or you just say to Lando Norris, right, you come in and this is what we expect.
No
of you.
Chance.
You won't do it.
No chance. Rightly so.
It'd be interesting. It'd be interesting. But that is, anything else you want to talk about?
No.
That is the end of the episode. It seems like it's a bit of a negative episode. And it's not meant to be a negative episode. It's just more the fact that actually I had real high hopes for this weekend. And I thought the season was going to start off with a banger. And don't get me wrong, delighted for Fernando Alonso. That's probably the biggest, you know, P3. It's brilliant. Aston Martin looked great. You know, you've got Williams in there as well. Looking good. But the fact there was such a gap between P1 to P3 to P4... it's kind of just depressed me a bit, really, because I was expecting a lot closer racing, especially after practice and especially after qualifying. But, you know, it's a long season. It's either going to be a long season for many reasons. I think by mid-season, Verstappen, title winner.
Yeah, at this rate. At this rate, it does look like that.
But yeah, guys, I hope you have a good week. We'll be back next Wednesday for a brand new episode, having a look at Saudi Arabia. But have a great week, and we shall see you soon. Bye-bye.